Amen. Praise the Lord for that reminder in the scripture and from the scripture and our great God we serve. And we thank God for that. And hello to all of you. I didn't get around to all of you to say hi this morning, but I got around to most of you. And for the rest, I hope I'll catch you afterwards if I did not. And I see some new faces and I see some old faces. So take that however you want to take that. How's that sound? Because I'm one of them old faces too. So, but it's so good to be back, and we're so encouraged by the ministry here and what God's doing through the Garbets and through you. And thank the Lord for what's going on here. Thank the Lord for your financial and, more importantly, your prayer support that you have given to us over the years, and just the encouragement. And so, like we said, I think yesterday or whenever it was, this is like coming home. This is still our sending church, our home church. And that's even though I'm pastoring a church for the past 3 years, this is still my home church. And so it's like coming home whenever we're back. And so it's a blessing. So thank you, Pastor, for having us. We've enjoyed our time and catching up with folks. Praise God for that. This morning, I want to preach to you a message that it springs forth from the text that Pastor Hall read to us there in John chapter 20. Just right after the resurrection that took place, and especially if you want to turn there, the end of that passage, John 20 verses 21, is where we're going to spring forth from, because today I want to preach you a message that I've entitled, So Send We You. So Send We You. Here in John chapter 20, beginning at verse 21, it says here, Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Father, please bless our time together as we look into your word. Thank you, Father, for these folks who have taken their time to come together this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, now as we look into your word, may it be a time of encouragement and challenge for all of us. May we all leave here changed and more like Christ. May we be both hearers of the word and doers also. Use me as your messenger today for the message that you have me communicate, not just to the church at large, but to each individual here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's foolish. That's suicide. It's a waste of human life. That and many other statements were made to General Eisenhower as he was preparing to send 150,000 Allied troops to hit the beaches of Normandy on what we call today D-Day. And we know what happened there and how God really changed the whole direction of World War II. And though I know we have no World War II veterans in here today, we have, in the past we've had World War II veterans. Pawpaw Jack is one of the last of those still living. And some of you know Jack Ford. And but that's what he was told as he was sending these Marine Raiders, these Army Rangers, and these just these troops, 150,000 of them, to hit the beaches and to face machine gun fire and mortar fire and just terrible odds, if you would. But they were fighting for freedom, and they were fighting because of the call they have. You know, the same complaints are filed today by many regarding missions. Sending out missionaries to those parts of the world, that's suicide. That's foolish. It's a waste of human life. We need preachers here in the United States. And I agree we do need pastors and preachers here in the United States. But we also need to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. But what I want to encourage you by today is this fact. Preachers are sent. Preachers are sent to proclaim the gospel. Now, I'm using that as a passive tense verb. Because there is someone who's acting upon these preachers to send them. And that's done purposely. I know in your thesis statement, it was these active verbs. I understand that. But preachers are sent to proclaim the gospel. They are sent by an outside sender, an outside mover, an outside actor. And we want to consider those two senders today as we look in God's word together. First of all, I want to now invite you to turn over to Acts chapter 13. And see an example how the Lord continues to function in the early church, and I believe how the Lord continues to function today in sending out missionaries. Acts 13 is where I invite you to turn. And we'll look together here at the first four verses, which says this, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod and the Tetrarch, and a guy named Saul, who we later know as Paul. As they ministered to the Lord there in that local church there in Antioch and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And we'll stop our reading there. Here we have the two senders of preachers listed for us in this passage of Scripture. We'll kind of use this as our new text after seeing the example of Christ at the resurrection. But now we'll look at this and see these two senders. The first of all, and most obviously, God sends preachers. God sends preachers. By the way, which is the only type of missionaries you want to support are God-sent preachers. Now, mama sent preachers or daddy sent preachers or even preacher sent preachers. But you want God sent preachers to begin with. And so God sends preachers. As it says there in verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. And that's important. And you see the word sent also up in verse 3. We'll come back to that in a minute. But first of all, verse 4, being sent by the Holy Ghost. And that word sent here is a special word. It's a word that's different from the Greek word in verse 3. And that, in this aspect, has the idea of being expelled, of being dispatched. The Holy Spirit dispatched Paul and Barnabas to go forth. And the idea of dispatch, and we understand kind of from a dispatch, right? We understand a little bit from that. For years, many of you know, I was a chaplain with the Williamsburg Police Department. And, you know, and the dispatch kind of tells the officers where to go. And I remember one night, not to get Carl in trouble, but I remember we went one time with Carl, and we were out riding along, and the dispatcher said there was an officer who needed assistance. Now, that right there lights a police officer on fire. Because if they're ever in trouble, they want to make sure all their buddies are there, right? So Carl says in Carl's way, Carl Hosey's way, "No, Pastor Mike, I don't usually drive like this, but buckle up." And that's about all he said. And we made it from one side of Williamsburg out to Merrimack Trail in about a minute. I mean, we were moving. I was hanging on, you know, every little thing I was hanging on to. But why did he drive like that? Because another officer needed assistance. If something was going down, he needed backup. That dispatch call was so important that it must be answered. And this is the same when preachers are called by the Holy Spirit. When God and the Holy Ghost dispatches preachers, we must go. So first of all, God sends preachers and God sends them forth. It's another way that is used there in Matthew 9:38 when Jesus says this, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth preachers." And that word has the idea of almost being cast out. And those preachers, and this is the kind of preachers I believe we support here. If I don't know all the missionaries, but most missionaries I know here at Faith Baptist Church, these are people who must go. They can't stay because God has thrust them forth to go and take the gospel to the most parts of the earth or to that particular people they've called them to. And God sends preachers. God casts them out. God drives them out. And it's really an honor for us as a local church to get behind that. When God has called them to go. We want to be able, you want to support missionaries who must go. Who aren't just saying, "Well, you know, I have nothing better to do." No, but must go. If I don't go, I'm going to die kind of go. And that's the kind of call I had to come here to Williamsburg. And it took a while for us, the Lord, to show that to us. And that was the kind of call that we struggled with it for a year that made us leave Williamsburg. That we must go or we'll be disobeying God. He thrusts us forth. God dispatches preachers. God sends preachers, first of all, as Christ said. Look over in John 17. I love the wording Jesus used in his great high priestly prayer. This is a prayer Jesus is praying just really hours before he went to the cross. Praying with the Father, just right outside Jerusalem, praying for his disciples, knowing that he was soon going to the cross and going to the grave and back into the Father's presence, but he's going to leave these disciples here alone. And so he prays this for them as And you'll find out he's actually praying that for us as well, as we get a little lower down the passage. But beginning with John 17, verse 17, he says, sanctify or set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, Jesus says. Talking about his disciples first. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, I set myself apart, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Boy, that's us. Okay? So he's praying for us even there. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Praying for us that way. He has sent us. He has sent the disciples and us, as we saw in Acts 13. He sends preachers today. And that's wonderful. God sends preachers. God dispatches them, first of all. And preachers obey. And you want preachers that obey. But it's not always automatic. It took Moses 40 years to obey, right? He struggled for a while. Sometimes it takes us to obey, because when God dispatches, sometimes he dispatches to very difficult places, very hard places. But if that's God's will, that's what's best. But sometimes it's not always easy. I even went through that as a young student. I went to a Bible college to be a Christian school teacher. And I was a relatively young believer, and I was so excited. I loved math and science. I was studying math and science. And then after about a year, God began working on my heart, and for almost a year, I struggled with the call to go into the ministry. I struggled because my mom said, you'll be poor all your life. That was my mom's experience. Every preacher she knew was as poor as could be, and you'll be poor all your life. My mom said, you need to be a dentist, or at least a doctor or a lawyer, she said, and I love medicine. My daughter's a nurse, and I helped her through medical school, to be honest with you, in nursing school. And I love medicine. I was an EMT for a while, but, you know, God didn't call me to do that. I think it would drive me crazy if I was an attorney. If you're an attorney, I'm sorry, but it's just all those nitty-gritty things of every little jot and tittle of the... Anyway, I'm not going there. But anyway, God called me to this. And after about a year, I told my then-girlfriend, who I knew was, I was going to marry. She wasn't quite convinced yet, but I told Sherry, I said, I need to let you know, God has called me to preach. Now, I've been fighting with him, but I'm going to obey. And this is your way out. I remember saying that. This is your way out. And thankfully, she chose not to get out, but she chose to stay with me. But anyway, God, that call was so strong. And after I fought it, I finally obeyed. And so God sends preachers. God dispatches, but preachers must obey. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I love what he says there, because he is sharing what I'm talking about here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul says it this way, very strongly in verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity, he says, this is verse 16. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And those are the kind of missionaries you want, who they must preach. And if they don't preach, I mean, I don't know what some of these other missionaries here, but if I'm away for a week not preaching, it's tough. If I'm away 2 weeks, I'm bouncing out of my seat. And my wife's saying, sit still. And I'm working on the sermon, you know. This is how I would have said that, and, you know. And I'm, sit still, just sit, you know. And it's hard, because I feel, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And that's, God calls preachers to put that within us. According to gifting, some preachers are pastors, shepherds, some are evangelists, missionaries, and go in different ways. That's God's business how he does that. We find our way and we obey God. The call is to faithfully preach and live out the gospel. I mean, Paul summarizes in 2 Timothy 4, we're not going to look at that, but 2 Timothy 4, Paul summarizes this way, preach the word. I mean, that's the main verb of that passage. He says, you're going to give an account to Christ one day in verse 1. Then he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. But it goes back to that verb, preach the word. And we must do so. And when missionaries come and have that kind of burden, they must obey. I would encourage you to get behind them. Pray for them. Support them in your prayers at the very least. God sends preachers. He dispatches us. And yes, preachers must obey. But secondly, a second sender, is churches send preachers. Not just God sends preachers, that's the first one, the most important one, right? But second of all, churches send preachers. Remember Acts 13 where we just looked at it a few moments ago? Church of Antioch. The Holy Spirit came to them and said, separate me out, Paul and Barnabas. And what did they do? They prayed, they fasted, they put their hands on them, and they sent them. Well, that's the common word, verse 3. The common word translated sent. You know, this idea of just send them out. Just let them go. And that's what a church does when it's got calls. And it's always a desire of churches like ours to send out even more. And maybe God's working on your heart to go out and to be willing to go. It doesn't mean you have to go today, but I encourage all of you to have a heart to say, if you want me to go, I'll go. Because churches send preachers. Not just God. God calls them. God sends them. But churches get behind that, and churches send preachers as well. I hope you're doing that. I hope you're willing to do that and go if God were to call you. And talk to Pastor Garbutt about that and say, you know, I'm not sure, but I'm willing to go. Because isn't that what Isaiah said? Here am I, Lord. How did that finish? Here am I, Lord. Send me. And boy, how God used Isaiah with a willing heart like that. God sends preachers, but churches send preachers. Look over in Romans chapter 10. You would. You're familiar with Romans 10. Many of you probably have verse 13 memorized. If you don't, I encourage you to memorize it. But look at Romans chapter 10, and let's read a few verses here together. Romans 10, and we'll begin in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a great promise? Promise is found in the Old Testament and continues in the New Testament. And I promise it's still as true today as it was the first time it was breathed. We can share that good news with others. But then Paul begins asking a series of questions after that. After that great promise of whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, how then shall they call on him of whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. Okay, churches send preachers. And Paul's bringing it out. Yes, people need to hear, but if there's not a preacher out there, they're not going to be able to hear, they're not going to be able to believe, they haven't never heard. And so how's that going to, what's the resolution to that? We got to send preachers. We got to send those who will preach and proclaim the gospel. We talked about D-Day at the very beginning, and what a great operation, though many lost their lives. A great operation that took, that God used to really turn the World War II back and drive the Germans all the way back into Berlin. Of course, a few years ago, we had the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and some of you, like me, might have watched the History Channel or some of those other documentaries about D-Day, and I'm always fascinated with history anyway. One of the blessings of living in this area, right, all the history we have here. And so studying about D-Day, and I knew a lot of the details because I studied in the past, but there was a one significant detail I never knew until about a couple years ago at the 75th anniversary in some of these documentaries. Research has revealed that for every one of the 150,000 troops that hit the beaches of Normandy that day, that there were 10 soldiers in support. There were pilots going along there, protecting the air. There were chaplains who were coming along to help those who were dying or wounded. There were nurses and doctors who came along to help those who were dying and wounded. There were supply clerks who were making sure that the things, you know, that was back there, the supplies, the food, and the ammunition was getting to where it needed to go. There were people who were actually bringing the supplies and bringing the food. There were, of course, chefs that were there who were fixing the food. And for every soldier that hit the beach that day, there were 10 in support. They didn't fire one shot. They might have been carrying a firearm, but they weren't shooting any shots. They weren't hitting the beaches. They were coming in support of the 150,000 that went before. 10 for every person. And it's a good reminder, even in missions, that as these missionaries go out to Hungary or to the restricted access nations or Poland or wherever they go, that they need support people behind them. Support people who will hold up their arms, who will pray for them, who will support them in different ways. In fact, that's really the most of the people in a good Bible preaching church, most of the Christians in the Bible preaching church are in those roles of support. That's okay. Because if God doesn't call you, you shouldn't go. Now, you should all be willing to go. But if God doesn't call, you shouldn't go. But if you're not going, then you should be in a support role of these missionaries that are going forth. And so as we think about that, realize now, not every Christian is called to preach the gospel like a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, but you used to be one of those in that support role. Let me give you an acronym, the word SEND, S-E-N-D, to help you think about how you can be involved, even here at Faith Baptist Church, with sending out your missionaries. So as we conclude here, looking at the second thing, churches send preachers. Let's think about these four different ways that you can send your missionaries, both your current missionaries as well as future missionaries from Faith Baptist Church. The S in SEND stands for supplication. That's a big word, isn't it? What's a simple way of saying supplication? Prayer. Pray for your missionaries. All these missionaries will tell you, that's the number one thing they need from you. They need you to pray for them, to support them in your prayers. So very important. I mean, for instance, Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. Here's the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest missionary that ever lived. Great preacher of God's word, greatly used the Lord in so many ways, talks about so many important areas and teaches the church about that and deals with the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 and ends that passage of scripture dealing with the whole armor of God by saying this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto or being on guard thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What was he emphasizing? Even in the midst of wearing the whole armor of God, we need to pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. And it says, for all the saints, we're praying for each other. Other places, in fact, verse 19 says, and pray for me. I had the word pray. But and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul is saying, pray for each other, but boy, while you're praying for each other, pray for me. He was saying, he knew he needed prayer. Paul wasn't saying, well, I've reached the status of the Christian life, that I no longer need anyone praying for me. No, the longer he lived for Christ, the more he knew he needed prayer and prayers for him. So he's asking for prayer. We need to pray for our missionaries, supplication. You need to pray for your missionaries on a regular basis. I encourage you, take their prayer cards or work through the church directory and pray for your missionaries. Remember them in prayer on a weekly basis, I encourage you. Make a goal. Do it as a family. Do it as an individual. Pray for your missionaries and read their prayer letters. You know, a prayer letter takes a good amount of time. And oftentimes it's not read like it should be. I encourage you to read the prayer letters and pray through those different things. Now, I've been on both sides of it, okay? I understand. And I understand how time is so important. And so I try to make mine brief. In fact, some people say they're too brief, but that's okay. It just kind of gives you the points to remember. But I try to do that because I know how precious time is. But whether it's long or short, please read through your missionaries' prayer letters and pray for them and the specific requests they make. They need that. Supplication stands for the S. There's an E, the word send, S-E-N-D. There's an E, and the E stands for encouragement. Because believe it or not, missionaries need encouragement. But so do you. And so does your pastor. And so does every Christian. We all need encouragement. And especially those of us who are out on the front lines who are taking the shots from the satanic sniper. It's always taking shots at us. We need to know there's people behind us encouraging us, praying for us, and just care that we're there. That's so very important. I encourage you, remember them on their birthdays and their anniversaries. We appreciate that you do that here. We appreciate the Christmas gift you all sent again at Christmas this year and just to let us know you loved us and cared for us. That means a lot. And the cards we get on birthdays and anniversaries, that means a lot. And you say, well, that's not that important. I tell you what, it's important for us, and we live in South Carolina. It's very important to our missionaries to live on the other side of the world. You get mail from home or an email, and nowadays the emails and texting and everything else is even better. And you can do that. That means so much. Ephesians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Here the Apostle Paul is serving God faithfully. Just has been a faithful servant of God all these many years. And where does he find himself in Philippians chapter 4? In a prison cell for preaching the gospel. And it wasn't that he was discouraged, but he definitely could use some encouragement. And he's writing here in Philippians chapter 4 and says this. If you follow along, beginning in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So you were full of care, you were concerned about me, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. He said, I'm not complaining. I don't need anything. God's permitting my needs. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So he said, I'm not complaining, but I'm thanking you. Verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Verse 16, but even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound in your account. But I have all, verse 18 goes on to say, and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, who was a great encouragement to him, the things which were sent from you. He was the messenger. He not only carried the stuff, he also encouraged them. It was that the things you sent from him was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now the God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul is saying, you know, I'm not complaining. God's going to meet my needs, but you really encouraged me. He not only sent stuff to meet my needs, you sent a brother to encourage me, spend time with me, and come to this old stinky Roman prison and encourage my heart. And that meant so much. And he said, you know, God's going to take care of me. I know that, but you have been a vessel of encouragement. And he's bringing out really a need. I can tell you, as I've worked in full-time missions and visited a lot of missionaries, it's a need every missionary has. It's just to have some encouragement. They don't need it to stay on the field. That wasn't what got them there. They were called by God, but they sure could use that encouragement just to know that someone knows they're there. Because the devil sometimes whispers in their ear and say, no one even cares. No one even knows. No one here knows. No one cares about you in this city. No one back home knows. And then, you know, what's the devil? The devil's a great liar. Amen. But sometimes you hear that and you don't hear anything to counter that. You get a little discouraged. So encourage your missionaries. The E in send stands for encouragements. And it's so easy today. Back in the day, you know, you could write a letter. It took 3 months to get there. And you wrote back, took 3 months to get back. Now it takes just nanoseconds to get a message from one place to another in the whole world. You can send messages. So all we need to do is just do it. So encourage someone today. The end in send, S-E-N-D, stands for navigation. Navigation. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look over 2 Timothy chapter 4. The end, I'm going to say, is navigation. I'll tell you what I mean by that in just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's back in prison again, this time for the last time. According to church history, we understand that Paul's lost his life after this imprisonment there in 2 Timothy 4. He's there for the preaching of the gospel. And it says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed in Thessalonica. So that discouraged him a bit. Then he said, well, then Crescens went to Galatia, and Titus into Dalmatia. We don't know if these men, we don't think they necessarily forsook him like Demas did, but they had to go also for various reasons. He says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. He's writing to Timothy. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me in the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent unto Ephesus, which is where Timothy was serving. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments or the scriptures he had left there. And so he was asking for someone, particularly here, Timothy, to come pay him a visit. He was his son in the faith. Paul was in prison. He knew, he had already said a few verses earlier, he knew he had run his course and finished the race. You know, and he knew there was a crown laid up for him. He knew it was time for him to go. The Lord was getting ready to take him home. But he just needed that encouragement, and he asked for Timothy to come make him pay a visit. Navigation. The navigation to the end is referring to actually personal visits. And what a blessing it is to be able to be visited on the foreign field by a supporting church. And that's not always practical for financial reasons, but it sure is a blessing when a supporting pastor comes. And I encourage you to think about that in the future and to send Pastor Garbutt over to visit some of our missionaries, especially if he feels a certain burden to go visit someone. Sometimes he knows things that he cannot share publicly with you, but some struggles the missionary is going through, And I encourage you to be open to doing that. And what a blessing it is, and I do this still today, not only to go visit, but sometimes take supplies over. And just recently when I went to India about 2 weeks ago, we took over 3 laptops, and we took over a whole suitcase of vitamins and minerals that for those who were in Sunday school, that the man who had that surgery for that cancer, that his doctor encouraged him to get. Can't get those things very easily there in India, but you can get them at Costco pretty cheap. And so I had all these Kirkland brand vitamins and minerals I took over to him as his doctor encouraged him to get. And you know what? That I probably spent $80 on all those things, but boy, that meant a lot to him. That meant a lot to him that I thought so much to do that and use one of my suitcases to bring him these things. But he's faithfully served the Lord all these times, and I didn't want to just go face-to-face and encourage him, but I want to take him something he needed and help out with some of these refurbished laptops. You know, you're bringing things, as Paul said, bring the parchments, bring my cloak. You know, it's getting chilly here in the wintertime. Bring my coat for me as well. And, you know, the navigation aspects. So be open to that. You say, well, that gets expensive. Well, you know, budget it out. Trust the Lord. Some of you might get behind and tell Pastor Garvey, you know what, when the Lord lays on your heart, let me know. I'll help send you over there, wherever that might be. But navigation is another part of how you as a church can support your missionaries. Supplication, encouragement, navigation. Well, let me say this. Sherry and I have been to some missionaries, and they've said, we've been here for 20 years, and you're the first person to come see us. Now, that isn't every time, but every once in a while it happens. And so you need to find out, you know, folks like that who've just been faithful for 20 years. And they've come home on furlough, you know, every 4 or 5 years, whatever else. But they've been there on the field, and none of their supporting churches, none of their pastors ever came to see them. And so we can do that. We live in a day and age where you can do just that. So supplication, encouragement, navigation, and then lastly, the D stands for distribution. Look over in 1 Timothy now. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Beginning with verse 17, as Paul is completing this wonderful epistle here to young Timothy, he says this in verse 17, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world. Okay, let's just go ahead and solve a lot of problems right here. If you're an American, you are rich in this world. I can tell you that without a doubt, because I've been all over the world. And you say, well, I don't feel very rich, but you are. As one national said to me, Americans are so rich they build houses for their cars. I've seen it. I've seen pictures of it. All right. So we are rich in this world. Okay. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Okay. But in the living God who giveth us richly all things in joy. Okay, I'm not going to deal with verse 17. I think you get the idea. What you have has come from God. We are stewards of that. We have been blessed, especially here in America. Let's go on. Verse 18, what's the charge to us, especially as Americans who are rich in this world? That we do good, that we be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And only this word we used before, the idea of communicate isn't just talking, but the idea of sharing. Okay, that's what we do when we talk, right? I'm sharing things with you with my mouth. Well, sharing, communicate used to be even broader than that, sharing in many different ways. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. So what is Paul trying to encourage the church of Ephesus, which was a great missionary church, by the way? What was Paul trying to do? He's trying to remind them of their need to distribute of the riches God has given to them. A huge part of sending missionaries is taking care of their financial needs. That's not the emphasis. Even as was mentioned last night in some of the questions, that was not the emphasis that was brought out. It wasn't that we're here just to get money. We're here to get prayers more than anything else. But there is a need for finances. And so a huge part of that is helping them in their financial needs on their field of service. The vast majority of missionaries would make a lot more money here in America than they do in what they do overseas. So why do they do it? You say, because God has called them and dispatched them and they must go. We should share in their sacrifices. If they sacrifice maybe some career or some advancement or some opportunities that you may have here in America, then we shouldn't just say, well, that's tough on you. No, we should share in their sacrifices and be willing ourselves to, as Paul says here, to distribute to them, to be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, be rich in good works. And really what we're doing is we're making an investment in eternity. By the way, regarding investments, you know they're required now to say past performance is no guarantee of future results, right? Have you ever heard that before? They're required to say that. Let me tell you, in God's economy, your performance guarantees future results. Without a doubt, God will, as well, verse 17 says, you're laying up for yourself a good foundation against the time to come. You are investing in eternity when you invest in missions, invest in Christian works. Distribution is a big part of that. Can you imagine how even the mission program of this church would be able to advance if you gave 1% to 2% above, every person here gave 1% to 2% above their tithe? You know, and so you give your tithe, which I believe does, the scripture teaches, goes to your local church. But what if you gave 1% to 2% above that? But it was, in other words, 1% or 2% of your tithe to just additional to missions. Would that be a great sacrifice for you? For most of us, no, it wouldn't be. So maybe even more. But if you're just getting started and faith promise, why not consider giving 1% to 2% of your tithe, how much you give to your tithe, in other words, above your tithe, to missions. And see if God will not replace that and bless you for that, of being willing to sacrifice some because of the sacrifices your missionaries are given. Preachers are sent to preach and proclaim the gospel. They're sent by God himself, first and foremost, but they're also sent by you. We need to go so others the gospel may know. That's what we're doing. Or we need to give so others the gospel may hear the gospel and live. During World War II, people were asked to sacrifice for the war effort. Now, I remember most of you, even those who were born during that time, really can't remember it, but it was a lot in history. We learned about this, the sacrifices they were asked, you know, of recycling things and doing without things because our soldiers overseas needed us to sacrifice in some way as they're in the Pacific theater or in the European theater fighting for freedoms. I wonder, are you willing to sacrifice for the greatest war ever? I'm not talking about World War I, World War II, or World War III. I'm talking about this spiritual warfare of lost souls who need to hear about eternity. Are you willing to sacrifice as well? Will you sacrifice for evangelism and missions? Because the scripture teaches, if you know Christ as your Savior, you're on the winning side. We've already won through Christ. There's still battles to fight, but we've already won. The war's been won through Christ on the cross. And as we'll be reminded in 2 weeks, we serve a risen, victorious Savior. So he didn't just die for us. He's alive today. And we have a great gospel message to take to the othermost parts of the earth because most people in the world do not know this truth. So what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? And then lastly, are you on the winning side? Has there been a time in your life, an event in your life, where you have willingly said, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I want to be on your side. I want to trust Christ as my Savior from sin. I trust in him today. An event will take place in your life. Jesus called it a second birth. You won't remember your first birth, but you know your mom and dad told you about it, right? But you'll remember your second birth. You'll remember a time where you trusted Christ your Savior. And whether you're a young person or an adult, you'll remember that time. And if you have not trusted Christ your Savior, I encourage you to do that today. Because that's the reason, that's what we're talking about. That's what missions are all about, is getting this good news to you as well. It begins right here where you are, and then it extends out of this church to the utmost parts of the earth. But if you're here today and have not yet trusted Christ as Savior, that's your need today. And I invite you to come during the invitation time and let Pastor Garvin know that you need to talk to someone about trusting Christ. You never had that event take place in your life where you trusted Christ, but you need to take care of that today and come to the winning side. Come to Christ's side. Trust Christ as your Savior. Most of us probably have done that. Many of you, I have personally heard your testimonies. So my encouragement to you as believers is, what are you doing for the cause of missions? What are you doing so others will also hear this good news? And that's really what Faith Promise is all about. Missions is all about. Your part individually, not just the church, that we do collectively as a church, but what are you individually going to do for missions this year? I hope you will prayerfully consider that and do as God leads you to do. Because preachers are sent to preach the gospel. They're sent and called by God, but they're also sent and called and led by the church. So let's do our part for the glory of God. Pastor, you come. Father, we pray as the pastor is coming that you would work on our hearts and show us the need today. If there's anyone here who does not know you as his or her Savior, Lord, may today be the day in which they call upon Christ once and for all and get that settled. No longer just trust coming to church is enough, but Lord, that they will actually ask you to forgive them their sins and actually come to your side, trust you as their Savior today and get that settled once and for all. For those of us who have done that, then may we do our part in getting this good news out to others here in Williamsburg and to the regions beyond. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
I want to ask you just to continue to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. You've been challenged today about your responsibility as far as missions goes. And God has spoken to your heart about something. It may be that you need to give more. You need to be more faithful in praying or even doing something to be an encouragement or maybe even making that trip to visit a missionary. But God has just touched your heart and said, you know, you need to do this. I wonder if you just right now, before we sing an invitation hymn, would you just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I've heard your voice today. I hear what you're saying. Lord, today I want to commit myself to following through on that. I want to be obedient to what you're telling me to do. And I'm making a commitment this morning that as I leave here, that I'm going to be obedient and do what you have urged upon my heart to do, taking that next step, that further step in being involved in getting the gospel out, whether it's going or helping those that God has called to go. But just do business with the Lord right now for just a moment in the quietness of your heart. Father, we thank you for the challenge of this morning. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who directs us into your will for our lives. Lord, if there is someone even here this morning that you have burdened their heart to go, maybe you've been working on them for a while and they've been fighting it, and this morning they just need to surrender to you and begin to make that process, take those steps to go. Father, help them to do that today. And Lord, as we have made commitments, things that you have burdened our heart to do, help us, Lord. Give us grace to follow through. It's easy to say, but we need to act upon what we say. And so, Lord, help us as we leave here to do what you have urged us to do and what we have committed to do this morning. Continue to remind us of the decisions that we have made. Help us to do our part in getting the gospel out to those who need to hear, both here locally and around the world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn book, turn to number 535.